Blog Talk Radio. Because of the lion shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
I text you, it's the Lady Charles, that last number is 02.
Okay, let me go look. I didn't see that. Just checking, let me look and see if I see her.
Yeah. If she's listening, punch one and get in the loop to
yeah. 972 area code?
Huh?
Is a 972 area code?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to press 1 on your phone, it will put you ready at 972.
Okay.
Yes, she's on that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me break it.
All right.
Hey, Lady Charles is on. So.
All right. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Okay, we all know.
Alrighty, we dedicating this show to Lady Charles, and she can ask a question when she get ready. But I wanted to let you know how we study with the 5 W's and the 1 H in a chronological order, using etymology, the study of the origin of the word. And we have did our research that everything in history is in a chronological order.
Yeah.
That's written down. The Anglo-Saxons, who are not white people is descendants of King James. The Anglo-Saxon, who changed his name to America in May 1st, 1776, this is the school of thoughts we would be dealing with. We were dealing with the Scottish Rite Illuminati Masons that was formed, the Great Seal of the United States of America, which their headquarters, America, belongs to that group of people. We will study this in a straight line, and here's what I want to start with, because see, anybody that believes in a religion, all religions is man-made. All we have to do is study the history of religion, starting at 4000 BC. The oldest religion is Hinduism, and we'll go in a straight chronological order of all religion. But I want to start this lecture with at what is written down in history, what white folks, the Anglo-Saxons wrote down in history. We'll start at 1555. I'll give you a brief summary of what happened. 1555, 175 Mennonites. The Mennonites is the children of Abraham and Keturah. Mennon is the third son. You'll find that information in the 25th chapter of Genesis. That's where we found that information. He bought John Hopkins, worked for the Stewarts. The Stewarts had a company over here. You had to know the history of how the New World and the 13 colonies was over here. Those was actually companies and land grants belonging to men. John Hopkins was a Presbyterian minister. He brought 175 Mennonites over here to the 13 colonies in 1555 on the good ship Jesus of Luxor and John the Baptist, those two ships. In 1555, these was Mennonites that they classified as Mennonites. They didn't classify them as Africans and all of this stuff. They was Mennonites from Africa. 1619, 64 years later, they said that these people that they had brought over here had mixed their seeds with all the indigenous tribes, which was 72 indigenous tribes over here called the Creek Nation of people, and they had mixed their seeds with all the Europeanos that was over here, the Scottish, the Irish. They'll tell you each nation of people, when you go look up the history of who they had mixed their seed with them. The government, which was the Continental Congress at that time, renamed these people Negroes that was colored people. These Negroes that was colored people was indentured servants, was what we call the slaves. Well, in 1870, these Negroes that was colored people got free upon the Emancipation Proclamation. These Negroes that was colored people was actually the Creek Nation of people, the 72 tribes. They say only 5 tribes were civilized. You can get that history up under that. the civilized tribes. These five tribes, they had mixed their seeds. They was also classified as Negroes that was colored people. We did a show on all the list of the beautiful names that they had renamed us during that period in time. We already did a show on that before. Now we go back to 1870, and we'll see up under the Emancipation Proclamation, which you had to understand what that was. He was freed up under certain rights. In 1870, the Scottish Rite Masons, who had won the war from the Duncan Masons of the South, that's when the North and South fought against each other, it wasn't for the slaves. It was for who would control America. When the Scottish Rite Masons won against the Duncan Masons of the South, they made sure that they would never gain their power back. That's when they freed the slaves up under certain rights. This is what this war, you've been told a lie that it was fought to free the slaves, it was fought to who, what Masonic order would rule America, because when you go back into the history of the Scottish Rite Masons, you'll see that these Duncan Masons had kicked them out of England and they went into Scotland and then they came over here. You had to know that history. That history is available to you also, where you can get it, how we got it. What they gave this emancipated slave first was religion, their religion. All religion is man-made, remember that. But they give them the religion of America, which was Christianity. They put a twist on it. In 1870, you could be only two religion. You could either be Methodist or Baptist. You could not be First Baptist. Remember what they freed you up under certain condition. You had to be Second Baptist. So you became Second Baptist. You couldn't be Christian Methodist Episcopal. You had to be colored Methodist Episcopal. And in 1860s, they granted Richard Allen African Methodist Episcopal, and that's where that word came in. Africa came in is through that religion. On your education, they said they would give you the 3 R's, teach you home economic and agriculture, which you had been doing for 300 since you've been over here. They would give you this. They would give you PE, which was sports, and music. The 3 R's you thought was reading, writing, and arithmetic. But you thought they were saying arithmetic. They wasn't saying arithmetic. They were saying arithmetic. Arithmetic. That's a compound word. R-I-T-E. Matic, the definition of matic is teaching. The net definition of R-I-T-E is a Masonic order. So your arithmetic that you thought you was getting the 3 R's came up on the order of the Scottish Rite Illuminati Masons, or what they gave you in a school system that they had prepared for you at that present time. They said if they would take you and teach you only 10 years then, if they take you and teach you 10 years, they would make a good American out of you, that you could serve them in bondage up under segregation and what they had you, the bondage that they had you up under at that period in time. And then they moved it up to 12 years. Was that Brother Maher?
No, this is Lady Charles. I have a question. Two questions, toward the education and the other one toward religion. Let's go back to the religion, sir. You said religion was man-made. And so if religion is man-made, how – I need you to explain to me all of this shouting and speaking in tongues in the church.
Okay. Well, now, when we go to your Bible, what did Paul say about speaking in tongues?
I mean, of course he said that it's like sounding brass.
So you know ain't nobody speaking in tongues for the simple reason it's supposed to be two or three people in that church that know what you're saying. And don't nobody know what you're saying, so you're what is called babbling. That's the language that you street. You are just babbling. When you all religion, it is not a religion that you can name that wasn't founded by a man. It's not a god that you can name, which is 330,000 different gods that you can name that wasn't a man that walked around like you and I. This is 2023. Your mind has got to change over of what you've been taught. It will stay with it. When you have what we call a mind that's being reborn again, as you would say in your religious teaching, renewed, why would they say that you had to renew your mind? For the simple reason, you got a doctor's degree in your teaching. So you're going to, the first thing you would say, why should I have to renew my mind of what I've already been taught and I have a doctor's degree? You, as one person, your mind has to redevelop or it will stay stuck right where it is. In this knowledge
well,
that
now,
we teach.
Now, let me interject there. You said that it had to be three people. I've witnessed that in the church where someone has spoken tongues and there was interpretation. And then when the interpretation came forward, that interpretation of that message that came forward due to other people,
Tell me the name of the language that they were speaking that these people interpreted. Because when the people caught the Holy Spirit up there at Pentecost and started speaking in different tongues, they understood each other because they were speaking in what was the national tongue at that time, Galatian. But these people spoke more than one language. You speak this language that we're speaking now. If I ask you the history of it, you could not tell me the history of it. You don't know where it's gone. It was read from left to right. What was said about this language for 450 years? Why is it that only in America that this language is legal? And where did this language come from? Is it English? It can't be English because there's no J's in English. So,
I believe that the unknown tongue is a Hebrew language. I believe that the unknown tongue is a Hebrew language.
That's what I was saying. Do you speak Hebrew?
If
I say Yah Shalom to you, what would I be saying?
That is not Hebrew.
That is Hebrew. If I say
Gawaii, that's Yiddish.
Well, I tell you what, then tell me your Olivates in Hebrew. Say them to me. And I'll start you off. What's the next one?
I'm sorry. Repeat that. You said tell you what in Hebrew?
Yeah. Tell me the Olivates. The Hebrew language is wrote in Olivates. Brother Maher.
Yes, sir.
I'm listening.
He speaks five different languages. He has taught us Hebrew.
Okay.
You,
well, I've been...
If you tell me that you speak Hebrew, I'm going to ask you to say your Aleph Bates, because the first thing you learn in Hebrew is what, Brother Maya?
Your Aleph Bates. And it's the same in Powhatan, Cherokee, Choctaw, Creek, Chickasaw, Algonquian. So I speak what is called Cherokee and Choctaw as well, but they're old Hebrew. Those languages are old Hebrew, and they were written with artifacts to back it up, right to left. And I learned my language in the Native American Warrior Society back east.
Well,
so
I've been studying Hebrew, and there are some names that I'm able to pronounce and some that I'm not. But Haya, now you tell me what they're saying in Hebrew, because I know what it says.
It means to live. It's the same songs that we sing in Native American dialects. I'm a traditional singer as well, so I already know what that is. Haya is a verb in Hebrew. It means to exist.
So if I was to say to you, Yalaya, in Hebrew, what am I saying to you?
Say the word again.
Yesh, ha.
Okay.
My phone may be breaking up. Can you hear me clear?
No, I can.
Yesh
is man. He's a helper. Because the word is ish. Yod in front of it is a prefix.
Okay.
Because
the Hebrew words compose of five basic sounds. Do you hear me? The Hebrew words, they compose of five basic sounds. The A-E-I-O.
That's vowels. That changes the inflection of the word. We do the same thing in so-called Native American dialects. Amharic, Ge'ez, and Ethiopia, Arabic, all these languages are related to each other. So if I am looking for a definition of one word, yeesh, okay, and I'm not satisfied with the interpretation of what they said that word is, I slide over to a sister dialect because they're the same. The character sets are different, but they're the same. So in Cherokee, we say this phrase, Yehewa. Ishtuhulu Abba. Hallelujah, Yehewa, Ishtuhulu Abba. That's old Cherokee Hebrew.
So is this old Cherokee Hebrew? I say Elohim, which means supreme or the mighty ones.
It means mighty ones, rulers, and judges. You're right. It don't mean God. The word G-O-D is from a whole different language construct, which has nothing to do with the Hebraic or the Shemitic construct. We have quite a few words when dealing with the interpretation of what we may read in Hebrew, for those of us who can read in Hebrew. Like you said, you could pronounce some words in Hebrew. I don't doubt that at all. Where the rubber meets the road is, what is the interpretation of what they gave us to tell us? And this is where this arithmetic and all this other stuff came in, where they changed our dynamic. So you may agree with this, what I'm about to say. The Creator speaks and has spoken. And after the Creator is done speaking, someone else comes on the heels of that expression and say, this is what it means. So the word believe and believer, those are not Hebrew words. I speak German as well. Those are Germanic terms. And
right.
They have nothing to do with the word to trust the Creator. Okay. Exactly.
I agree. But let's go back to this. Let's go back to this. So I agree with what you just said. But if I was, and I'm going to say this, and I need to move on to my question about the education. If I was to say katos to you in Hebrew, that's not skittish. That's true Hebrew right there.
Right. And Yashalawam is Hebrew too. That's not Yiddish. I'm familiar with Yiddish. So the words like
okay.
Mark, Shamil, other types of words in Yiddish. I'm from New York City originally, so I learned Hebrew in the Ethiopian synagogue there, where there were Jewish, quote-unquote, Jewish rabbis. So they give you a history along with the language, but they force you to learn the language. They don't. You're not allowed to use English as a crutch, French or some other language a person might be familiar with. You're not allowed to do that. You have to be able to open it up and say, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim wa-ha-aretz. That's Genesis 1-1. You have to be able to do that. And then we get into what the roots of those words actually mean, not as someone has pre-interpreted it for us. Because if you're dealing with the King James, and I know you are just as versed with the King James as I am, in the 1611, in the preface, they actually tell you, they don't tell you it's a translation. They say it is an interpretation, which means as I see it, this is how I'm going to explain it to you, versus what the roots actually mean. Here's a little helpful tip I think would be good for you as well, too, ma'am, in your walk to gain better understanding. The English language we're speaking Hebrew in the reverse. That's the little unknown secret. So if you're looking at a word in Hebrew, and I'm not speaking of it in English right now, and you see a word, bara, well, they say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. This is how they give us Genesis 1-1. I know you're familiar with that expression. However, when you are actually looking at the Hebrew words themselves, that in the beginning God created heaven and earth, that's not even what that means. There's two parts in that one verse where the first part identifies he originated something from an origin not told to us, singular, and then it gives you the Elohim, which is the handiwork of the one whose name you didn't even know yet because it wasn't said in Genesis 1-1. It goes right straight to the workers, mighty ones, rulers, and judges, or prominent ones. That's when you start to break it down.
Let me say this, because we got to move on. I don't want to pick up all of his show, but I'm going to say shalom to you, because you started.
Hey, Lady Jaws.
Yes.
Lady Jaws, I want you to ask any question you want. I want you to ask any question that you, any question that you want to know, ask it right now. We'll answer it.
Well, I want to say shalom to the brother because he started talking and didn't speak. And the problem that I have with a lot of the Hebrews Israelites that's calling themselves Hebrews Israelites is that they're calling themselves that. They're trying to teach the word, but they can't speak Hebrew. Now, before you interject and cut me off, I've talked with some Hebrews. I've spoken Hebrew to them. And they don't know the language. So those that are walking among us calling themselves the real Hebrews, I have a problem with that. You're not a real Hebrew because if you was, you should be able to speak to me in Hebrew. I'm speaking to you in Hebrew. And I'm not even calling myself a Hebrew Israelite, but I'm speaking to you in Hebrew. Now, let me move on to the education question that I have. I have a problem with this education system. Because the white man wants to throw in the education that they want us to have and the history. I'm still with history. But they will not allow our black history to be put into these history books so that our children of color can learn what the real true history of the native blacks are. And the third thing is, I want to talk about the destruction of the black civilization because we, as a black civilization, we are being destroyed right before our eyes, and I don't think that we are paying attention. I'm noticing that this black civilization is more worried about money, living status, driving nice cars, and keeping up with the Joneses instead of knowing your history. And being a step of the white man from making sure that your bloodline is not destroyed. Now I like to listen.
Brother Duane, may I
see?
You sure did. And may I, Brother Duane, by the way, sister, my name is Mahir. That is my name. And
shalom,
I apologize. Shalom, 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 Laka, my sister. I did, after learning Hebrew, living in New York, and of course, you know, they're everywhere, the brothers that you were speaking of. And I did. I was invited to come over to their main school. Then it was not so many schools like that. And, yes, I quickly learned that they did not learn Hebrew, and what they were saying was the language which they were not speaking. They really didn't have a command of how words are formed, and they were only of the five vowel sounds. They were only wanting to work with one. Everything was ah, not no I, E, O, U, none of that. So I had a problem with that myself. So I'm just edifying something you had said. So when I'm dealing with them, and it's not that often that I do. Sometimes on my Facebook page, you know, they'll chime in and send me a message or something. I have to hit it from their level, and I have to take it up to the 10,000-foot level in order to get them to see something. Now, I like what you said. Now, on the education or the miseducation and the destruction of us, let me give you a little something, sister. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. The young Israeli child who doesn't know anything about the scriptures, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, whatever phrase we can use, I know you understand what I'm saying, when they're learning to say the names of the countries in Hebrew, when they get to the USA, United States of America, the expression they use is found in Genesis in the conversation to Abraham. This land is called Arzot Habarit. Arzot Habarit means this is the promised land, in case you may not be aware of that. So the young Israeli child has not had a chance to be indoctrinated with any type of Judaism or anything like that. And it is the same expression that the ancient Chinese refer to this place as. So everyone seems to know what this place is. You mentioned, and you said a mouthful. You did say a mouthful. The next part is the true history of this land, how it's laid out. Now, I'm an ex-Army engineer captain. So what that means, my sister, by me mentioning that, is we had to be taught as an officer topology, topo, how the earth is laid out, by region names before we get to country names, okay? This country is called this, that, and the other. Okay, yeah, that's important for right now. However, we know things by their regional names. We have states where black people that you know have been living forever and a day here. Missouri is lazy English for the word that actually means Egypt. I don't know if you're aware of that. I don't want to take – because this show is for you. So we heard you was coming on, so I don't want to over-talk. I want you to be able to interact just because this is for you. So, you know, I don't want to take too much time for the reason for you being on this program. We want to try to answer and get interaction from you as well. I spent a lot of years studying, going back to the days of the American Indian Warrior Society back in New York, about why things, what they were called in the ancient names, which is outright holy names. Ohio means the name where the Creator caused his name to come down. And it's in the Old Testament, but they spell it A-H-I-O. These are the things I actually had to learn. Alabama, God's high pillar. That's another example. Arkansas, Aron Ganasa, those who carried the Ark of the Covenant. So you kind of see where I'm going a little bit, sister, with this education.
Brother,
yes, Brother Dawadia.
Let Lady Charles, all of these names that he's calling, these are...
Okay.
Creek Nation of people, tribes that was over here, the Alabama, the Arkansas, the Ohio, the Utah, the Minnesota, the South Dakota, the North Dakota. All of these 38 states is named after the tribes of people that was over here. We, the Creek Nation, we own what is called America. That's where we live. We lived over here with the Olmec, the Aztec, the Maya, the Incas, and on the East Coast was the Algonquin, the Frenchman named the Iroquois. These six nations of people was over here. We had our own language before anybody came over here.
This is correct. So, sister, I hope you're getting something from what we're saying, because I'm trying to edify what you're saying.
I'm understanding very well on what you're saying. E me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And continuing, my sister, and that's what we're here for. Ain't no big eyes, little U's, ain't none of that. And besides, I'm too old.
Did you understand what I just said to you?
I'm sorry, you said feed you.
No, I just responded to you in Hebrew that I am understanding what you're saying.
Yes, yes. Cain.
See, and I said Eden, and that meant that I am understanding.
Yes.
Let me go here. Say it again, please.
My reply is Ain Dabar. That means with what you said, I don't have any words to add to it. No words. Ain Dabar.
Okay.
And Cain means okay.
Okay, that's it. Because my Allah, and I have many of them.
Mm-hmm.
So did you understand that? Yes.
Lady Charles, you asked about the let me explain the education to you. The education that is in the school system, that the education of the federal government gave to us and put in the school system, comes out of the three ruffians of the Masonic Order of the ancient Sophites. Do you know, are you familiar with the ancient Sophites?
Tell me about it. I am not familiar with that.
Okay, there were 12 schools of thought in ancient Greek. Only five of them survived. They killed out all the rest of them. The first one they killed out was the school of dialogue. Because they had to kill dialogue out because you wouldn't believe what the ancient Sophites believed in. The ancient Sophites school of thought believed in what you definitely believe in, and that's love. They believed that it was four kinds of love: that of Eros, which was male and female, phalo, which was male and male, stoge, which was female and female, and agape, which was to the gods that you worship. They believe in these types of love. So you can see that education made a believer out of you from their schools of thoughts on love. You was taught love. You believe in love. You believe in love 100%. That somebody should love you, or you should love somebody that is implanted in your mind, which is called genocide, which you'd be up under the Sir Walter Gauss 1881 Science of Eugenic book that the Scottish Rite Masons believe in. Are you familiar with that book?
I don't know, Paul. I'm changing with that thought. I don't believe should be chasing love. Do you hear me? I don't believe we should be chasing love. No.
Yeah. And see, that's but your mind is redeveloping itself. But you got 42 million people's mind that don't believe that way, that believe that they're black African Americans and they got doctor's degrees. And see, once you believe that you're a black African American, your history is not the 52 years old. And you asked, what is the problem with the black nation? You went from a soul sister, a soul brother, to a bitch, a hoe, a dog, and a fool mentality. And 53 years later, you can see that your people born after 1970, they did a stats on them in the year 2000. All people born after 1970, this is including every race of people that was in America. They said they didn't single out the group. They say people born after 45% of them was mentally ill and taking mind-controlling drugs, and 45% of the toddlers, that's ages 0 to 5 years old, was mentally ill on mind-controlling drugs. That was 23 years ago. That child is 23 years old right now. Now you see what the problem is in the black African-American community?
You
got
the
a mental problem. You got a mental problem. And
not
it
only
ain't
that,
no problem no more. It's a crisis. It ain't a problem. It's a crisis now.
Let me add to that. Not only the problem with the blacks is that we are still locked into slavery. In our minds, we have slavery mind mentalities. So we are yet not free. We're living in America and yet not free. And this is why we can't change.
Sister, free is an idea. You got to know what the Masons know. The Scottish Rite Masons teaches that freedom is an idea. Because the definition of freedom is free from government rule. Go Google and see what this definition is. So freedom means that you're free from government rule. You will never be free from government rule. Ain't nobody on earth free. Even the 104 uncivilized tribes got a government. So ain't nothing on earth free.
It's a comprehensive analysis of our past and a most perceptive and relevant analysis of our present condition as a people.
Well, we already done did this, Sister 20. We're talking to you about something that we had a blog talk radio in 98 on and been knowing this ever since 1965 with me. I've been knowing this when I started studying with Malachi York.
Well, I missed that show, but nobody seemed to notice or understand the signals from this white world. The signals which tells how the importance of the whites regards for any movement toward the unity among the blacks. And nothing racial seems to upset us no more. We accepting this crap. And this is why they insist on being in on anything that the black organization movements are doing financially or even as advisors.
He's been in on it for years, sister. That's the system. See, the system, you had to understand the system. Now, can you do anything about the system? No, you can't. So for you to have peace of mind, you got to know that what you're dealing with and what you're seeing now, you can't do anything about it because it's a crisis now, and it's been going on too long. You can't stop what was put into writing in the Protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion in 1486. You can't stop it. You can't stop
it. But the problem is the man. We can stop it, Meatball, if we come together as a community.
You are not going to go back to what was old because the people that you call in community is born after 1970. And they,
we know the apprehension of the whites and the possibility of the real black unity. I know it appears to be quite like the needles now as it was in the past. But me, as who I am now and knowing history, if we come together in communities, we can rewrite history. And let me say this, Meatball. Please let me get this out. We got the problem of it is we got a lot of strong women that can rise up and build a community reform toward all this white stuff. But the problem is the black man holds us down, the black woman, and stop us from going forward with what has been implanted in us to be dealt with for the now.
Well, my sister, I think you're speaking of the bottom 20% of those men. I belong to several groups, and we do discuss what you're saying, and even the stats show that, first of all, with all of these unwed mothers and all these children being born, the way that they're being born, 54% of black men don't have children with no one. So I know they're not in that mix. But the bottom 20%, the minds have been changed. The minds have been changed over time since I can remember. I'm born in 1961. So I, through decades, have seen things change from one level to the next level before I even had a chance to understand what was this new wave and wave that was coming in. Meanwhile, there are, as far as men are concerned, brothers like myself, we are addressing those who seem that it's the black man holding it down. No, quite a few black women are holding themselves down. And some of them are just now starting to rise up to check the other ones, because society has said that you as a woman don't need to listen to anything I have to say because I am of no value, no how anyway. And that's the part that we strongly disagree with. Because
I got my soul, the black man always has value.
Hmm?
I have to intervene. I'm not trying to be rude, but I have to intervene. Right. The black man always has value. So I have to interject when you make statements that I don't agree with. The black man is always valuable.
Right. That's before the 1960s. After the 1960s, a new wave came in.
Yes, quiet relevant to all of this, I've made several points. And one was, notwithstanding, yes?
Sister Charles.
You have.
You got the
yes. I was addressing one that I understand your point and what you were making now, and I understand the timeline for when the mind shift occurred. Because
right.
Now the young ladies are out there suffering, and guys ain't doing anything to them. And some of them are going back to their gender, the older ones, to say, why didn't you take the time to teach me X, Y, Z, but you taught me the other stuff? Or basically instilled it. Yeah.
Let me say something, sister. You have to understand and realize what it is a fact. Every 10 years is called a decade. Every 10 years you see a new world. The minds of the people change every 10 years. You're talking about when we call ourselves soul brothers and soul sisters, had communities, had togetherness, had this, had the Black Panther, had a beacon of defense. We had all of this. We had Malcolm back here in this damn time. You don't have that in 2023. The mindset of the people is not on what you are preaching and want to happen. This is why I say it won't happen, because you have to live in your time period that we're finna go into another world. A world is how people think.
I say a new
That's what the definition of a world. And you ain't going to find no young black African-Americans that's in their 20s and 30s to think about a community and building something. And those are the people that you have to, that's the youth. People old
like
me is retired.
These new millennials is trying to change some stuff. It's these old that's trying to keep it the same. I see that too.
I have to agree with you on that.
You know, it's a lot of the old ones that are stuck in their way, and the movement, like what did Dr. Martin Luther King say? I have a dream. And the new millenniums is trying to bring the dream, and the old ones is trying to, they don't see the hardest thing is change, and people don't like change. We need to talk action. A race for action. You know, we need to organize some action, because anybody can talk, but if you don't put nothing behind it, if you don't have your plan, you know, it's just like when you're building a house, you got to have your blueprint. You first of all, you got to know your location. You got to have your measurements. You know, how large, what's the square footage, how much it's going to cost, and we don't go that deep with it. We just stay on the surface. But I want to get out of this corner, because I know a little stuff and some history, and I want to move on. I know y'all, I appreciate the historian, Meatball, and the guy from California. I appreciate whoever else on this line with history, because it's good for us all to know history. But let's talk action, and let's do something about it, because here's little old me. Here in Dallas, Texas, a woman with a lot of knowledge and wisdom. And you talking about getting with a black man, and we can create a movement. Anything can be created. And then all you have to do is get a group to carry out the process. But the problem is we can't get it done because there is no unity among the blacks. And as I was trying to say earlier, we really don't know how much power we really have. Even the black woman don't realize how powerful and strong she really is. We can really make the white woman instead of the black woman with all the knowledge and power we have, but the black woman have allowed their ignorance to dictate and to direct their path. And the same with a lot of our black men. We got a lot of intelligent black men that know their history, know what it's going to take to move the white man, but we can't come together as a unity. We can barely come together as a community right here in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, I ask, make me a voice. I'll be the voice. I don't mind getting out here being a voice, because I realize in America that somebody has to do it. And I also realize in America, everybody is not going to want to do it. We got folks that say, hey, I just want to keep the peace. I'm going to scoot over here to the corner, and I'm just going to accept what this white man gives me. I'm going to accept these low wages. I'm going to accept this poverty. I'm going to accept the white man want to keep us in slavery. Well, I'm the black woman going to come out and say, no, I ain't accepting this crap. I'm just as good, if not better, than the white woman. And I want what you giving a white woman plus more, because who I am and my bloodline, where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
When I go into these stores and the white woman is in front of me and the cashier say to the white woman, how you doing? And talking to her, smiling. And then when she get to me and you just start ringing up my groceries, I stop her. I say, hold on, where's your manager? Did I do something wrong? Where is your manager? Because you got to ask me the question, you already out of order. And so when the manager come, I said, now when the Caucasian lady was in front of me, she greeted her. She smiled and talked with her. I said, now my money is just as good as the white woman, if not better. And I want the same respect she gave to the white lady. And the cashier lady said, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that I didn't speak. Yes, you did. Yes, you did realize it, because now you're telling me me that you didn't realize it. You realized that you didn't want to because of the color of my skin, and I would not allow you to wait on me like this. So then I asked the manager, can you wait on me? By then, the manager would have said, I'm so sorry. I apologize for this, but she didn't want to wait on me. I want to be treated the same. We have to demand our freedom here and demand not to stay and let them look at us like we slaves. I'm not nasty. I'm proud because you white women couldn't have babies. But my womb was blessed. I could have many babies. I'm better than your white woman. Let me calm down.
And my sister, let me edify you on something. When you was before you got to these points, you were talking about, you didn't use this term, I'm using this term, dysfunction, this, that, and Brother Duarte was saying it. That is the Arabic definition of the word Afrique that we say in English, African. It means to be divided. It's not an English word.
Uh-huh.
So when they came in the 1960s and slapped that label on us, someone knew what they were doing when they used that term. Words carry vibrations, have meanings and definitions, and can have an effect upon you. So you're doing what you should be doing. In your own way, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? It's just a matter of time for us all to link up as the Creator promised in his writings, which is going to happen. There's no way to sidestep linking up. It's not going to fail. So he told us.
Can I ask you a question? Ask you a question, my brother?
Sure.
My brother, I want you to be honest with me with this, okay? Now, I'm going to be real quick.
Mm-hmm.
This system has put the black woman and the black man at war with each other. And so what has happened is, because they realize if the black woman and the black man came together, they realize how strong and powerful we would be. You hear me? Woo!
Yes.
I'm feeling this energy. And so the problem is the black woman has gotten into a state of total disrespect for the black man. And the black man is saying, I'm tired of this. I'm sick of this. You know, and the white race, they know what they have done to put this wedge between the black man and the black woman. And this is why it's so hard. I see why now, even for me as a black woman, why it's so hard, the knowledge. I'm able to draw. I need you to really hear me. I'm able to draw black men. I'm able to talk to black men. They receive me. And I want to take it high. No, I'm not no man. No, I don't wear the pants. I like wearing my dresses. No, I'm not trying to assert the authority of no man because there was an order that was created. Man first. Man is always the leader. Men are the heads. Men are the fathers. Men are the husbands. Do you hear me? But
yes.
They are the strength. And we as the women are supposed to pull off of the strength of the back of the black man. Are you still with me? And so then when you have a black woman that rise up and say, hey, you still ahead. I'm not trying to serve your authority, but let me help you. I have knowledge. I have power and strength because of the black man. Allow me to use this. The black man say, no, stay in your place. No, be quiet. No, no, no. Now, if we go and look at the churches, as you know, the churches are made up of a lot of what? Of women. Men don't go to church like they used to no more. And it is decreasing rapidly, even in 2023. So women, even though we go back to the foundation, what they told us with the word of God, God created Adam first, then Eve, and it was Eve that led the man astray. Well, I looked at that a little bit deeper. In the story, God told him not to eat of the tree, eat everywhere else, but not of this tree in the garden. And what happened was, I feel like that Eve had already had wisdom and knowledge at the beginning. That's why she could be so enticing to lead the man into sin with her. That's how much power from the beginning of the world that the woman has had. Do you hear me? Are you still with me? Because I'm trying to paint you a picture.
No, no, I'm on the point because what you're saying, I understand that in Hebrew. And
yes,
it was the serpent. It was the serpent who did it. That's how God approached it.
Okay, the woman was strong enough and intelligent enough to know how to go to her husband and say, hey, I taste this, I ate this, eat. Even though the husband saying, this was what God told us not to eat, but the wife was so strong and confident, go on and eat this because I've eaten it. Ain't nothing going to happen. And the man, what did he do? He submitted and did it. That's where the falling started at the first with the black man and the black woman. The black man did not stand his ground and hold his leadership place. He allowed the woman, because men are visual, to break him down and push him into sin. What I've been seeing with our black men all across the nation, they are losing their strength. And I've been telling the black man, get up. Y'all are strong, you're powerful, we need you. We need you to straighten your backpack out. Because me, and them, even if I'm just one of the boys, we are not going to allow the white man to break our men down and take us away. They killed you. They dragged you under cars. They hung you on trees. Stand back up, black men, and straighten your back up. Boy, let me stop. I'm
done.
I'm calming down. I got too much energy going on.
Brother Mahal.
Yes.
Brother Mahal. Grandpa told me that that he was a renegade and that I was a renegade. And you remember when we was renegades in this knowledge and we thought just like Sister Charles thought thinking right now. Once upon a time, we thought that way. The story of Eve is a symbolic story. The female, everything, you're dealing with electromagnetic energy, the 12 laws of nature. Everything you see in creation is similar upon the five senses. Electro energy, you can't see that energy. That's male. That was a story of symbolic. The female is the creator on earth. She has more power than the man. Which we have been taught, a Hellenistic society believe that male is first and female is second. But see, when you go into esoteric knowledge, you'll know that it was two creations. The creation of a supreme being was male and female. The creation of a human being was a man and a woman. And it's a difference between those two because the female and the male mate with each other and the woman and the A-man have sex with each other. So you're talking about eighth-day creation. It's a lot of stuff that we haven't been taught, but everything comes up under the Scottish Rite Masonic knowledge. When you've been genocided, and you've been genocided in 1970, they had you. That's 400 years. You completed 400 years of being up under the rule of the Scottish Rite school system. So with you being genocided like that, then it is impossible for you to come out of genocide and boom, just like that. And once the mind understands that you have peace of mind, but I remember when we was there to talk like you. But
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a renegade.
Yeah, I see. You have to know what the definition of a renegade was. See, everything with us is etymology. This language we speak has a definition to it. And once you can grant that in your mind and your thinking as you study, is you have to look up the word, like the word Charles. The word Charles is not an English word. It means free man. You call yourself Lady Charles. Well, you are saying to me that you are a free man. Because look up the definition. I have an etymology book with every name that you can name. I got a book that I'm looking at right now in my library that I can find, put my hands directly on, that every name that you call, I have the definition of that name. If what we didn't believe in names, our children were statements. We was given statements like mine is Dawaya Zakaya. Dawaya is the beloved of Yah. Zakaya means did not forget the teaching of Yah, and I haven't forgot that. So that's what we know about where we have traveled to, or what we teach. But right now we just teach what has happened to us. And once you've been genocided, you can't stop genocide. Once they get into the 18th generation, you're in the 55th generation. You were supposed to have been free. You see, in 1955, in 1955 you was totally genocide. You were supposed to stay in slavery for 400 years in 1955, but they freed you in 1870. So the three Ruffins, what they freed you up under, it had a pause in there of 85 years. So they had to wait 85 years to 1970. That's the reason from 1870 to 1970, they did not integrate with you. It took them 100 years to genocide you. So they integrated, every state had to be integrated in 1970. That's 100 years later. Everybody born after 1970 is completely genocide. That's why you call yourself a black African American. That's why you call yourself a Chinese American.
No, I don't. So, I feel like I'm African.
I said you and don't, you got 43 million people call themselves black African American. You don't call yourself. This is what you have to realize. You got 7% of this 42 million people. These people have doctor's degrees in this school of thoughts. Mine is a school of thoughts. It's what you taught. And you can't, because you can't look at, I don't believe in this, but you up against, look what you up against. And see,
let me tell you,
that's
this. When I fill out my application and it asks if I'm an African-American, I don't check that. And you're going to laugh at me when I tell you what I checked.
Yeah, but you're dealing with 43 million people don't believe like you. But it's past our time now. I don't know why they haven't cut us off. Big boy must be liking
I'm
talking. But I'll say, Shema Yahweh, Yah, Abin Ka, Ika, Kamaida Yah.
Kamaida
Yah. Yah Shalom.